Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club, the place investors go to gain actionable advice, learn about current market trends, and hear war stories from other professional investors out there in the field today. Before we get started, I have two quick housekeeping items to cover. First, if you like the episode, we would very much appreciate a like, subscribe, and share. It is the best way to support the show and keep it running. Second, if you are a new investor looking to get started in real estate or an experienced investor looking to take your investing to the next level, we created an ebook for you that will cover how to find deals that are actually deals, how to finance those deals with little to no money down, and how to exit those deals for maximum value. On top of that, I throw in an insane amount of free bonuses that you'll have access to once you buy the ebook. All we charge is our admin costs to keep the show running. So, if you're serious about real estate investing and want to create both active and passive income as an investor, head on over to the website at therealestateinvestingclub.com and click on the button that says Get the ebook to grab yourself a copy today. So, with that said, let's dive right in. Today we have a very special guest with us, ready to drop some investor knowledge on you. So, buckle up, grab your pen and paper, and enjoy the ride. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have with us Ezawani Abi. I think I nailed her name. Good job.
Hi.
Ezawani is a licensed attorney and manages a law practice and real estate business while providing real estate project management services to investors. As a realtor, she works with investors to strategically plan and execute on real estate deals, both commercial and residential, and when needed, provides turnkey project development management. Ezawani is here to talk about development, and I'm super excited because I have zero experience in that field. So, Ezawani, how are you? Thanks for hopping on the show.
I am very well. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So as I said before the show, we always start with stories. I like to hear how people got into real estate. So take us to the beginning. How did you get started down this path?
Beginning, bought a foreclosure. Beginning foreclosure about 12 years ago. I wanted to buy my first home, but I knew I wasn't willing to pay full price because, you know, deals are great. Got a foreclosure, kind of lived in it, rented it out. So I did the living in and renting out some space. I rented out a room for a few years, which helped pay the mortgage. I think 80% of my mortgage was paid by the tenant. And then a couple years into that, fixed it up a little bit and sold it. Sold it, made about, I think, 100 and something on it at the time, paid off some hefty school loans, and then bought myself the space to keep going and started getting interested in smaller developments as a way to build my career, my wealth in this space.
Nice. No, I love it. So you got started kind of with a house hack, it was a foreclosure that you house hacked. Yes. and that kind of snowballed into where you are today.
Yes, absolutely. I wasn't, initially we weren't sure where we were going, but that was exactly what it was. The house hack, had a tenant, paid it off, flipped it, and then got the ball rolling.
Very cool. You don't hear many people starting in foreclosures. It's always, you know, they bought it from a friend, they just bought it on the MLS, something like that. So why'd you start with the foreclosure? What brought you through that process?
Maybe it's just the desire not to pay full price. So I think of a house as really just a house. It has to be an asset in some way. It's a box that we live in, we make it pretty, and when we're done, we kind of move on to something else. So I was not willing to pay full price. I wanted to live in a nice neighborhood. This was downtown Houston at the time, and I wanted to live in a nice place, but I didn't necessarily want to pay the prices that the market was commanding at the time. So I was actively looking for foreclosure deals, different resources, right? You can go through HUD, you can find things from HomePath, Fannie Mae foreclosures. So I was looking for something that would get me to where I wanted to be in, but at a price that made more sense to me.
Yep, that makes sense. Foreclosures will definitely do that. And did you find this on market, or did you actually go to the steps and, you know, you had your money there, your hard money loan ready to take it down?
On market. I found it. It was actually a tax foreclosure. So it was an interesting thing where there was which is probably where my legal background comes in as well. There were some tax issues. People were a little uncomfortable getting into it, but it was a tax foreclosure. Numbers made sense. I kind of figured out how to go ahead and purchase it and then address whatever potential issues may come up later, which in this case, nothing really did happen afterwards. They never came back. They never paid off the taxes, and I kept the property.
Nice. Man, tax delinquent properties is, back when I was doing wholesales for a single family, that was my favorite list, is tax delinquent properties. If anybody is thinking about jumping into wholesaling or even just single family in general, check out the tax delinquent lists. I'm sure you can find them in your local area from somebody out there. They're really good, really great lists to go after.
They absolutely are.
All right, but you're not here to talk about foreclosures. You're here to talk about development. So, I mean, that was your first deal. You got into that foreclosure. You did a house hack. How'd you get from there into developing?
Really, the neighborhood I was in was changing very quickly. A lot of the larger builders had come in, but of course you had some holdouts, some people who still had their property, but they weren't willing to sell to the builders at the time. Yeah. Over time, I just sort of started scouting the area, and then I built up a partnership, and we would buy lots. We would buy lots in the area and started building townhouses. Of course, not to the scale and volume like the larger builders were doing, but starting off in that space and started doing sort of 1-2 townhouses at a time. And that's really how I got into the development space.
Nice. Okay. So you live in Houston, obviously great market. You know, you guys have experienced tons of appreciation over the past 10 years. So you live in Houston, great market. You were in this area that had a lot of lots, it sounds like. How did you go about finding, you know, your first lot? What did you do, you know, what about it was attractive to you?
The zip code, right? As it was an area that was just going through gentrification. It was massive, lots of builders, new builders, large builders, small builders, but lots of activity in the area, lots of expansion in the area. And because I lived there, it was easy to kind of drive around and see what was happening. And having some funds aside, it was, you know, the idea was, how do I didn't have the time to do a flip. I had a full-time job. I wasn't really interested in doing project flipping. I wasn't familiar with wholesaling. I didn't have the time to really do it, but there were some funds set aside, and I thought this would be a way to get some profit and not necessarily be extremely involved time-wise. I'd buy the lot, get a builder, general contractor, oversee and manage that relationship, but it wasn't as time conducive for me, and the numbers made sense.
Yep. And that's actually, I mean, what you just mentioned there, that is the thing that keeps me out of developing, is that, you know, I've done flips and I know that it's really hard to find a contractor. Yeah. So I can only imagine finding a good developer, a good builder is, you know, 10 times as hard. How'd you go about finding that relationship and knowing that this was a person that you could trust and that would do a good job, on the development itself?
So it does. It's definitely, that takes some time to find the right person in the right relationship. It's also sometimes instinct. You come across a few people, you kind of want to know what projects they've done in the past. In my case, I met a few people, really hit it off with one particular person. I got to see some of the projects he had done in the past. I got to ask about who he had worked with and realized that he had actually worked with a lot of big time builders as well. And of course, built a backup list should anything happen. But it was really nurturing the relationship and the transparency and getting insight into what he was trying to do as well, which is really work with not just the large scale builders, but the up and coming ones, the smaller ones, mid-sized ones, smaller investors, as a way to help bridge the gap for people who weren't into development. At the end of the day, the big builders are here, but there's going to be a future, and the small guys need to eventually become the big guys. So it's nice to have someone who you grow with and work with as you get into that space.
Yep. I love it. So sounds like you got it through networking, and then you looked at their past projects, talks with their past customers, and just, you know, went off the vibe of whether you thought they were, you know, a trustworthy person to go into business with. Yeah. It's a lot of networking that you got to do to find somebody.
It's a lot of networking and relationship nurturing, I say, because sometimes we forget that part, because part of it is also they have to trust you. They have to trust that they can work with you, and you have to be comfortable that you like them and trust what they're doing also. So there is some sort of, there's a lot more relationship management involved.
Yep. That makes sense. So how many developments have you done since then? Like, how many townhomes do you guys build out?
My partner and I, smaller scale, we've done about 12 so far.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. About 12 so far. And what's happening now is I am in the space where I'm beginning to help other people manage their projects. So in addition, I have my legal practice, which focuses a lot on real estate issues. I'm a realtor as well, so I can actually manage and understand the sales and the marketing aspects of things. But now, as of the past year and a half or so, we've started working with other investors in helping manage their development project.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So 12 so far, I mean, that's not a small number. That's plenty of experience to go off of. If you could kind of take that, you know, the experience that you've had so far doing these 12 builds, what would you kind of give someone who doesn't have any experience in development and is kind of, you know, nervous about the process? What pieces of advice could you give them just to get started?
Location, location, location. that's which really comes down to anything real estate that you're working on, and the relationship, right? Who you're working with. It's the place, it's the people, and it's the numbers. So you want to make sure that your numbers make sense for the time that you're going to be in the market. You want to make sure that the location is active enough to justify the time and effort you're going to put into it. Sometimes, you know, developers get excited and imagine that they can be the ones to change a particular area because that's where their numbers make sense. But if the area isn't necessarily moving, you don't want to go be the first guy who goes in there. You actually want to follow someone else. You want to make sure that someone else has been there and then follow. Unless that doesn't apply if you're able to get a significant size. I have a few clients who have bought 11 acres, right? You buy 11 acres, you buy a full block of somewhere, then you get to change the neighborhood because now you are dictating what's happening. If you buy 24 acres somewhere, you get to make a difference in that particular neighborhood because you get to change what's happening. So definitely focus on your numbers, focus on location, and focus on activity. Try to make sure you're aware of what activity is happening in that area.
Yep. I love it. So is the area moving? That's kind of the phrase that I picked up. Mm-hmm. How do you define whether something is moving? Do you look for net migration? Do you look for other development sites, appreciation in the market? What are the things that you are kind of looking for to identify an area as, you know, up and coming or stagnant?
Yeah. So definitely, other development sites, then specifically permits.
Okay.
Yeah, permit activity. I think it's important for you to be involved or at least know how to access the city permits or city planning websites and have an idea of what zip codes seem to be super active. There's an area I'm concentrating on now in Houston, and you can drive through and you don't feel like anything is happening. It's funny because I had my builder, I pulled him over there. I had a few investors and I pulled them over there. And the first thing is say, well, I don't see a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I see a few things, but I don't see a lot of stuff going on. And I remember telling my builder, well, you're not here because this is not an area you're familiar with. I'm a realtor, so I can also kind of scope out what's going on. But you go check the city platting and the city permitting, offices, and let me know what you find out. And once you go there and see how much activity, be where people are actually going in and looking for permits, asking for variances, you know, replatting requests, you can then see what's coming in the next 12 to 18 months. Yep. You're not just moving based on what's there now. You're moving based on what you see that's coming. And sometimes people miss that. They don't know that they can actually access that, and it's public information for them to go and see what's happening in certain zip codes around their own cities.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, before I got into real estate, I was in the corporate world in business intelligence. And I used to do like all those cool dashboards. And I just wish somebody could do a visualization of like permits, you know, so things like that, that gave you a real, you know, visual representation of an area and how it's moving and stuff like that. That would be
fantastic, actually. Like, that would be great. If someone could have it, I'm sure someone would pay you for that.
Yeah.
Especially new investors who are not quite sure where to go or what to do, and having to search record by record, zip code by zip code, something like that would be pretty cool.
I'm not going to be the one to do it, but if somebody's out there, that's an idea for you.
If someone's out there, think about it. That would be useful.
Awesome. Well, hey, we blew through our 15 minutes, so I'm going to have to push us into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. It always starts out with books. I'm a big bookie, so I like to ask two book recommendations, one for general life wisdom and one for real estate.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to have to look at my bookshelf right now because I just looking at it, I can tell you general life. I have Tim Ferriss. Where are the Tim Ferriss books?
Oh, 4-Hour Workweek?
Huh?
4-Hour Workweek?
No, not 4-hour work week. There we go. Tools of Titans. Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss has been absolutely profound for me. I actually have Tribe of Mentors and Tools of Titans. I think those are fantastic books in terms of general knowledge and life. I still enjoy them. I go back and I check them out every once in a while. In terms of real estate specifically, what I'm really enjoying now is The Real Book of Real Estate by Robert Kiyosaki. That's one that I'm kind of digging back into and really getting some additional insights. I have a Grant Cardone one as well that I like, but it's not 10 times. It's not the 10 times one. It's another version, but I have too many books over there. So I'm just pointing the ones that I met just on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, no, anything from Robert Kiyosaki has got to be a good recommendation. I haven't read Real Book on Real Estate, but I'm sure there's good stuff in there.
Yeah.
All right. So next one, goes back to your younger self, the person who had no experience in real estate. If you could go back to her, go back to the Zaya who just was, you know, bright eyed, rosy glasses, didn't know anything. Give her one piece of advice moving forward.
Moving forward from then where I was, get started.
I like it.
Yeah. Get started. At the time I was, I remember I wanted to get into flipping property back in sort of college. There were a few people I was talking to about that, and I never actually pulled the trigger.
Yep.
Yeah. So I wish I got started early. I know a few of them now are managing and have property all over the world, actually. And it took me about 10 years after that before I actually got started. So yeah, the advice would be get started. However, whenever you can, get started.
Get started earlier. If there's any high schoolers out there, just go buy a piece of land.
Well, and if you can't do that, well, talk to someone, try to get a partnership, get started somehow.
Yep. No, I love it. It's great advice. All right. So this one is to habits. Habits are the foundation of our life. So if you could point to one habit that you feel contributes the most to your overall well-being, happiness, success, what would that be?
Forward thinking.
Okay.
Forward thinking. I've been told I don't live in the current reality, which, you know, could be a problem, but I think it's a great thing because it helps me always think ahead. It helps me think of vision, planning, strategy. All of that just means I'm constantly challenging myself to imagine what could be versus what it is. Perfect. You know, whatever it is, it's great. I'm grateful. I like it, but what else could be? I think that's my mantra. What can we create?
You can't make progress unless you're thinking forward. So I like that one. Last question, and this one is about real estate specifically. I know you said you do development in Houston, but is there any other market that you feel that you're excited about? Actually, you can choose Houston if that's your one morning glory right there. But if there's any market, what's your favorite thing?
I like Houston. There's just so much happening. I mean, within the city, on the outskirts of the city, there's so much opportunity. I like Houston. I personally enjoy, and it's a personal thing, I'm sure someone could argue with me, but I used to love Mexico, but I have questions and issues with that, so I haven't quite dipped in that. But I love Belize. I like Belize. I feel like it's untapped territory. Every time I visit, I see, once again, I mean, I haven't looked at their platting or permits, but every time I go, I see new hotels, I see newer companies coming in, getting up space, and just holding the space. So I know eventually they're going to build it out. I feel like it's on tap territory. I would love to go there and get a piece of land soon. And, you know, even if it's just a bed and breakfast. But yes, Belize is my place for the future.
Yeah, it's funny. My uncle had a business up here in Washington and sold it and bought a land down in Belize and moved there. And he's lived there for the past, I don't know, 5 years. So
really,
seems to be a good place to go. Yeah, for sure.
I want to move at some point. It's part of my forward thinking plan.
Awesome. Well, hey, last question. This one is for the guests or the people listening and watching. You've given us a lot of good advice. So if I'm sure there's people out there. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time talking today. I'm sure there's people out there who want to get in contact with you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Abilegal would be the best way. I'm Abilegal on social media, abilegalweb.com. That's really the best way to reach me. I manage my platforms myself. So you can always send me a message, leave a comment or something, and I will generally respond back.
All right, Abby Legal. I will put that in the show notes. So if anybody wants to reach out to Zaya, go ahead and click the little more in the description. It'll pop down the full description and you can find the URL in there. Click through, say hi. So Zaya, thank you for hopping up on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Absolutely. For everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason that we do this, so we appreciate having you here. Other than that, hope you guys have an absolutely fantastic week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode and were able to pull some actionable advice that you can go home with and apply to your own investing business. Before you go, I have a gift for you. If you're a new investor looking to get started or an established investor looking to take your business to the next level, I've created an ebook just for you available on the website. This ebook will cover how I was able to create both active and passive income in real estate with very little money to start with. In it, I will address the three most often cited obstacles new and veteran investors run into by showing you how to find a deal that's actually a deal, how to finance that deal with little to no money down, and how to exit a deal for maximum value. And if you get the ebook today, I'm going to bury you in bonuses, 7 of them to be exact. First, you'll get the off-market lead generation blueprint, which will take you through the exact systems and processes we use to generate off-market leads like clockwork, which is the most important skill when it comes to creating real wealth in real estate. Then you'll get the A to Z REI systems and vendors guide, which will allow you to peek under the hood of our business and see the exact tools and systems and even the vendors we use to grow our business. After that, you will get the top 100 best performing keywords pack, which will give you the exact keywords we use to target leads online and generate leads without having to lift a finger. Next, you'll get the contracts bundle for wholesaling and renting real estate, which will give you access to all of the contracts we use in the field to execute all types of transactions. After that, you'll get the investor's quick analysis calculator and offer tool, which will allow you to quickly calculate whether a deal is an actual deal and will allow you to create an offer automatically from those calculations. Next up, we'll give you the investor's daily success tracker, which is a tracker you can use to ensure you are taking the right actions day in and day out to reach your financial goals in real estate. And finally, you will get the wholesaler's template for quick assignment cash, which will give you the templates we use to present our wholesale deals professionally and efficiently to our buyers. I know that is a ton of things to say. I'm glad you were able to stick with it. So you'll get both the ebook and all of those 7 free bonuses. When you download the ebook today, all we charge is the admin cost to run the show. So if you are interested in the ebook and the bonus bundle, head on over to the website at therealestateinvestingclub.com. Click on Get the Ebook Bundle at the top of the page and take advantage of that deal. With that housekeeping item covered, I hope you have an absolutely fantastic day and even better week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.